Hello, everyone, and welcome. We're on call number 3 in the Your Sacred Business program, and this is Darcy Sky Holowesky, Wise Woman Coach for Soulful Coaching. I'm really looking forward to today's call. We're going to be looking at managing your time and moving with the flow of time. So today's call around time is really here to support you in creating more ease in your schedule, more flow as you move through time, and more intentional productivity through all of that, right? This is a really, really important topic when it comes to soul-centered success, and you're going to see this clearly as we move through our material throughout the day. So before we dive into the material, just like we always do, we're going to take a moment to get grounded. And we're going to be doing a really powerful visualization, and you'll have your eyes closed for just about 3 minutes or so. So I invite you from wherever you are to go ahead and get settled. Close your eyes if that's available to you, and feel your seat beneath you. Really allow yourself to come fully present to this moment and to our call together. And really begin focusing in on your breath, inhaling and exhaling. And as you inhale, allow yourself to open up and expand, taking in life. And as you exhale, release and let go. Watch as your body moves with your breath. Take a moment to enjoy the process and the pleasure of breathing and the movement you feel in your body. And as you take this moment to connect inward, I invite you to sense into the pace of your life. So without any judgment, just take a couple of moments and watch yourself in your mind's eye and how you feel as you move through your days. Literally watch yourself. What does the pace of your day feel like? What is it like for you? Take a moment to notice how you feel about time, whatever time means for you right now. Is time something you're friends with? Or do you find yourself constantly fighting or negotiating with time? Do you make excuses for time, or do you see yourself embracing it joyfully? Just take a moment to notice your pace and how you relate with time. And now continuing to breathe, noticing your breath inward and out, I invite you to bring into your mind's eye what time itself looks like for you if it were to take on a human form. What does time look like for you? Just notice how time shows up for you today. Does it show up as a man or as a woman? How does time dress? How old is time? How does time wear its hair? Just take a moment and take it in. And perhaps you even want to make a connection through the eyes with time, or reaching out and holding his or her hand. Whatever works for you. Just allow yourself to be present for a moment with time. And now I want you to ask, how do you function in my life? How do you function in my life? And just be open to whatever you receive from time. And then take another breath in and connect even more deeply. And ask time, what is the deep wisdom you would like for me to know today, right now? What is the deep wisdom you'd like for me to know right now, today? Just allow yourself to take that in. And from there, thank time for being present with you today in this new way, and let it go. Take a nice deep breath in, and as you exhale, allow your eyes to flutter open. Take just a moment while the image is fresh in your mind, and jot down anything that you want to remember or keep close from the visualization. Beautiful. So as I mentioned, Joanna designed today's topic call to truly support you in creating more time and space for yourself and your business, as well as to help you move through time with flow and with ease. And today we're really going to take a close look at what in soulful coaching we like to call the inner and energetic ways that you relate to time. And we're also going to be looking at some really nitty-gritty tools and methods so you can accomplish what you want to, be strategic about it, and be more successful and have more time for yourself. So we're going to be looking at both those components today. No matter where you are in your business, no matter how much money you've made, you want to pay really close attention to the class today and this module's homework, because time and how you spend your time is essentially how you spend your life, right? And how you feel about time and how you spend your time directly relates to not only how you feel in your life and in your business, but how much you can accomplish. How you handle time is a really big deal, and it's a make or break issue in many businesses. And for those of us that have really busy lives, time is very precious. And it can sometimes feel like the biggest thing you're fighting against. So the intention of the work we do today is to open you up to the idea that you can actually befriend time and work with it instead of constantly struggling against it. Because what happens when we struggle against time? We can feel like there's never enough. We can feel at odds in our work. We can feel at odds when we're with our families. We can feel like we never allow ourselves time to relax because we're not friendly with time. So class today is really going to work on this relationship that you have with time. And as I mentioned, we're going to be taking a look at some practical aspects, and that's for the second half of our call. First, we're going to take a look at the really essential pieces of the energetics, the inner pieces of our beliefs around time. So why do we look at the inner pieces first? Well, we do that because, honestly, you could learn all of the practical time management principles in the world. And I'm sure many of you know a ton of them, right? But if deep inside you have limiting beliefs that there isn't enough time, for example, that you're always going to be playing catch up, or you're just not the kind of person who knows how to handle time, then there isn't a single practical tool in the world that's going to help, because your limiting beliefs will win out each and every time. So that's why we're going to dive deep here first and look at your inner relationship with time. And so we're going to start off with a couple of journaling questions for you to begin thinking about. And I want to share with you a couple of journaling rules that Joanna likes to offer that I want you to invite you to do here as we do this journaling. The first one is that when I ask a question, you just start writing as fast as you can until I tell you to stop. You don't worry about grammar, spelling, editing, none of that. This is just for you and your eyes. And you want to write fast because it's really about getting information and insight from your gut and having it come from a place that's deeper than your analytical brain that might judge or censor what you write, okay? So it's just about writing consistently and constantly in the time you have for the journaling. And if you get to a point you don't know what to write next, you can just write the last word that you wrote until the next thought comes. Okay, so I'm going to start with the questions, and I'll give you time in between each one for some writing. The first one is very simply, what's your relationship with time? What's your relationship with time? And again, just keep on writing, even if you're not sure what to write next. Just keep writing that last word, and a new thought will come. Great, so finish the thought that you're on now. And the next question is, how would you characterize the pace of your life? How would you characterize the pace of your life? Just let whatever wants to come up, come up. And finishing up that last thought, knowing you can always come back to these. The next piece is just in a free flow way, make a list of all the things that aren't working because of time and your relationship to it. So you're making a list of the things that aren't working, are difficult for you, or you feel you're tolerating because of time and your relationship to it. I'll give you just a couple of examples. Maybe you notice you stay up late into the night finishing reports. Or you feel you're always showing up late for everything. You're always 5 to 10 minutes late. Or you see that your client sessions run 10 minutes over time. And that doesn't work for your schedule, right? So where are the places that your relationship with time is not working for you? Great. So finish up your last thought, of course, knowing you can return to it. And so now, based on these answers that you've had to these questions, as well as any information that came to you as we did the visualization at the beginning of the call, I want you to identify what is showing up as your most powerful and persistent belief around time. What's showing up as your most powerful and persistent belief around time? And I'll give you some examples of beliefs around time. And Joanna has found in her work that these are some of the biggest doozies, right? The most challenging things that we can believe around time. There isn't enough time for everything. Or I don't have enough time. Or life goes by quickly. Or there's so much to do, I can't ever catch up. Or I need to take a really long time for each thing in order to get it right. If I did things thoroughly, there wouldn't be enough time for anything else. Or investing time in myself is a waste of time. Or investing time in my passions will leave me without time for anything else. Or there's too much to do before I die. Or if I'm not busy all the time, I'm lazy. Or if I don't work on weekends, I know I'll fall behind during the week. Or there isn't enough time for my passions and for being a good parent. Right, so as I read those off, just note which ones resonated for you. And of course, there are others that I haven't mentioned. So right now for you, just get clear about what your sense is of your most powerful beliefs around time, and we're actually going to call that your limiting belief. And go ahead and write that down for yourself, your limiting belief around time. So what I want you to do next is to take that persistent belief around time, and I want you to get clear for yourself and write down, where does that belief come from? Like, where did you learn this belief? Is it cultural? Was it from a particular person in your life? Where does that belief come from? And so for the next piece is I want you to ask yourself, and this can sound kind of odd in the beginning, so just bear with me. I'll give you some examples that can help with it. But just ask yourself, how does this belief serve me in my life? How does this belief serve me in my life? So let me explain a little bit more and give some examples. When you made your list a few minutes ago, you uncovered the ways it doesn't serve you, right? Like you're always 5 minutes late or your client sessions go over, that kind of stuff. But the truth is, if you've come to this point in your life and you've held on to this belief for so long, it must be doing something for you. You're a smart person. You wouldn't just hold on to something for no reason. So it must be serving you in some way. We want to discover what that is. So ask yourself, how is this belief serving me? What is it doing for me? Some examples. For instance, does always being busy keep you from being fully present in your life? Does constantly running out of time keep you from facing the changes you want to make in your work? Does always giving your clients extra time help you to feel valuable? Does a belief serve you by keeping you in a constant state of striving instead of making a conscious choice about what you want next? Okay, so I'll give you some time here. Just write down, how do you see that this belief might actually serve you? So go ahead and finish up your thought there. And we're going to take this in another step. Okay? So what we're going to do next is begin to create some new thoughts around time. You've identified your most persistent and powerful limiting belief around time. And so now, you're going to begin to think about and even write down a new belief that reflects a belief around time that you want to create for yourself. And this isn't going to be just like, you know, you say the belief and immediately believe it, but this is about the practice of being more conscious in the beliefs that you want for yourself. Let me give you an example. If your limiting belief is that there's so much going on, you can't afford to pass anything up or let any opportunity that comes up go by. If that is your limiting belief, like you have to say yes to every possible opportunity, a new belief that you could choose that you want to be working with is, I choose to take advantage of only the opportunities that are aligned for me. Right? I choose to take advantage of only the opportunities that are aligned for me. I'll give you a couple other examples. Joanna has shared that a current belief she's working with around time is, my personal time is top priority. Okay, so if you noticed for yourself that you resonated with a belief that says something like, spending time on self-care is a waste of time, or personal time is a waste of time, then this new belief is a positive one you could work to step into. My personal time is top priority. For me, my old belief, my limiting belief that I identified is spending time on my spiritual growth is a luxury I can't afford. That was a persistent limiting belief that I uncovered that I have around time. And so the new belief that I'm working to step into is, the more time I give for my spiritual growth, the more successful my business is. Okay, so take a moment now and write down a new belief about time that you want to begin stepping into. And again, this isn't like the moment you write it down, you totally believe it, right? This limiting belief, the persistence of this belief, it's been around a long time. So we're not asking you to change it just with the snap of fingers, but we are asking you to identify what's a possible new belief you'd be willing to work towards. So if you haven't gotten that complete, that's okay. You can come back to it. But I just want to move on with the next pieces. And with your new belief around time, there's some homework that I want to ask you to do. I want you to repeat this new belief to yourself every day and begin to catch yourself when you're in the middle of thinking your old belief. And repeat this new belief when you notice that old pattern coming up. So that's the first piece. And then the second piece is going to help you make this new belief more concrete for yourself. Like I said, you're not going to just jump into the new belief right away. But we're going to help you create a toolbox of new rules for yourself that support this new belief. And so I want you to come up with three new rules for yourself that support the new belief you're willing to step into. An example. If your new belief is investing time in myself is incredibly valuable, then maybe one of your new rules could be no more skipping Tuesday night yoga class. Or no more having lunch in front of my computer, working during lunch, right? Starting off the rules with a phrase like no more can be really helpful. You're putting up a boundary for yourself that helps you concretely step into the new belief. And then this week, I want to invite you to start abiding by those rules. So just to review your homework for this section, I want you to write out your new belief around time that you're willing to start moving into. And this is one that's going to help you immensely in moving forward much more gracefully and productively in both your business and in your life. Repeat this new belief at least 3 times a day and catch yourself when you've slipped into your old way of thinking. And then create 3 rules that can start with the phrase no more that are practical ways to support your new belief. Start following these rules and making them a high priority. And one of the pieces we're going to ask that you post to Ning is your new belief and your 3 rules that go with it. So we just looked at the first and most important piece of making time work for you, your inner beliefs around time, which you've probably had for a long time, right? So next, we're going to move into the practical pieces, and the first piece around that is to explore scheduling. Okay, so scheduling goes hand in hand with managing your time, as well as being able to successfully execute your blueprint or your action plan for your work. And you can create the most comprehensive action plan in the world, but if you don't make time for it in your schedule, you won't get far, right? So the scheduling becomes really important. So we're going to look first at ideal schedule, at supporting you in creating an ideal schedule. And what I share next is probably not going to be too much of a surprise, but it's important to take note of. After doing the inner work around time management, the number one most important key to managing your time is scheduling. Okay? Plain and simple. If something is important to you, schedule it into your calendar. Make time for your priorities. Because if you don't make time for them beforehand, as you go through your week, your day, your month, you'll find it's really difficult to create the time for what's most important to you if they're not scheduled in. If you find that your priorities aren't actually scheduled into your day, then you feel misaligned with your life and you don't feel like you're receiving the results you want from life. Okay, so let's look actually at the very first piece that's important around scheduling, your calendar. So the first question is, do you have a calendar? And then the second question is, do you actually use it? Right? So many of us own calendars, but it's really, really important that we're using it, that we make it a living, breathing thing that you're truly using. And it does not matter what form your calendar takes as long as it works for you. So it could be a paper calendar or it could be digital. And I don't want you to just do whatever someone told you you should do, or, well, this is what business owners do, or, well, this is what, you know, people in this industry do, or this works best for me, and so you think you have to do it for you. Truly, this is about what works best for you. And so if you're really unsure, as you hear me talking about this, if you're unsure about what type of calendar works best for you, then give yourself the homework assignment of finding your method, the ideal method of using a calendar for you this week. Okay? So when I talk about scheduling something in, I mean that you actually are typing or writing down what you intend to do into the calendar, and then you treat it like it's an appointment with a doctor or a job interview. The rule here at Soulful Coaching, if you will, is that once it's in the calendar, occasionally you can move something, but you can't delete it altogether. So what I mean is, if you have something, some time set aside for, let's say, writing on a Tuesday evening, and it's important that you do this writing, it's a priority, and then an opportunity for a date comes up, and dating is a priority above writing for you, well, that's fine. You can go on the date because that matches your priorities, but you don't delete the writing block altogether. You move it to another time slot. Okay, so you replace, but don't delete your priorities. So one thing that you're going to be working on in creating your ideal weekly schedule is so that you know on a general, you know, in a given day or week how you're organizing your time, we're going to be separating time into three main categories. And I'm going to explain what those categories are and why we do it. The first category is going to be time off from your business. The second is time on your business. And the third we're calling time in your business. Okay, so let me explain what we mean by each of these. Time off is any time you spend not working in your business. So it might be family time, it might be your self-care time, it might be sleeping or eating time. It's all of those things. And now let's talk about what I mean by time on your business. Time on is where you're working on the development of your business. So any creative time, like writing, is time on your business. Any marketing that you do, any networking you do, any billing, those kinds of tasks are considered time on your business. And the third category is time in your business. And this is the money-generating activities that you do, such as client sessions or teaching a workshop or a class or the actual selling of products. It can also include the time when you're responding to client emails or the prep time that you take for getting ready to work with clients or getting ready for a meeting. That's considered time in your business. So let's take a look at why we separate these three areas out. Why is it important? Well, first of all, for so many of us in business, scheduling ourselves in a kind and gentle way is really challenging. And there's a tendency to only consider the time in our business as what needs to get scheduled. So when we're actually in a meeting or when we're actually with a client, and then we book our time up with those things. And then we can feel really overwhelmed by the other pieces of our business that didn't get scheduled in. Or if we're not scheduling the other pieces of our business in, other times of the day can be totally unscheduled, and then we feel like we have no direction and we don't feel productive. And so this can leave us feeling unprepared, unsure of what we need to do next, and in general, at odds with time in our work. So let's say, for example, I schedule a workshop in 4 weeks, but I never plan out when am I going to create the curriculum for the workshop, or when am I going to market the workshop. Well, the days go by, the weeks go by, and I get up to like 2 days before the workshop, and I realize, oh my gosh, I'm not even sure what I'm teaching. Then I start to feel really overwhelmed. And then I look at the sign-ups, and I think, oh my gosh, there's not many people signed up. Oh man, I went to all this work to get this workshop scheduled, and now you're in a scramble, right? And maybe you have other things planned for those 2 days. It's not just totally clear for you to work on the workshop. So you may be staying up till 2 a.m. working on the curriculum. You may be rushing out, feeling like you're pushing to get the marketing out there, and it's not feeling right, right? So this can happen even if the workshop is something that we love, it's on a topic that we love. How inspired would we feel if that was how we organized our time leading up to it? Also, what can happen is we can not schedule time off from our business. And so we're missing out on the time when we get rejuvenated and excited and actually inspired about life and what we're doing in life. And we can spend all day in front of the computer or obsessively checking emails and not taking time off. So let's look at what this is like concretely for you, what you'll do step by step for creating your ideal schedule. The first thing I want you to do is block off weekly time off in your calendar. We're actually going to teach you to schedule the time off first. So what are the times you will not be working in your business during the week? Do you have a yoga class on Wednesday afternoons? So that's blocked off as time off. Do you take the weekends off? If so, block that time off. Because time off is where you get your juice, it's what allows you to show up refreshed and ready for work, it's important to block that time off first. Secondly, we're going to move to block out the time when you're working on your business. So time on, again, is any time you're working on your business but not actually with clients. And so go ahead, any time, for instance, on marketing, on creating systems, on your creative functions of your business, your writing, things like that, that's all considered time on. So you'll block that time off second. And lastly, you're going to block out the time you're working in your business. So that's, again, that time you're working with clients, session time, the prep time you might do, the little bit of prep time before the session, answering some emails for clients, that's the time in, and you block that out last. And as you begin to block off times, as you'll do for homework, there are some important pieces to think about. As you look at an item, let's say you're working to block out the time on your business and writing is something that you're scheduling in. I want you to ask yourself, what's the optimum time of day or week to do this? Is the morning the best time for you to write? Or is it right after the kids go off to school? what is the optimum time? Next, I want you to ask, when is my energy level the highest and when is it lowest? And also look at how long of a work block works best for me, my energy, my attention span, and my family, if that piece applies. Are 30-minute work blocks good for you? Or do you feel better with 90-minute work blocks? What truly works best for you? It's important here to know that your boundaries around scheduling and your priorities are going to change and shift over time. That's only natural, right? As an intuitive woman, the more you stay keyed into your inner wisdom, the more you'll know how to navigate scheduling boundaries. I can give you an example from my own life around working during the evenings. And for me, in my business, I used to fit clients in whenever it was best for them. And if evenings worked, I would schedule client calls during each evening. But the truth was that working every night until 9 p.m. really didn't work for me. It didn't work for my energy level. I would get really tired and I would lose steam by the end of the week. And I would start to actually feel a bit resentful that I didn't have that time off to eat dinner with my husband and relax in the evening. And so setting a boundary was really important for me in terms of self-care and rest and not overworking. And so what I did is I reserved 2 evenings a week where I schedule with clients. And it was important for me to make this shift or else my schedule would not work for me and I would end up feeling resentful about my work hours. And it was also really important to notice that I shifted this because of a choice that I made. There were lots of choices I could have made, right? One is I could have seen that, you know, it's okay if I work till 9 if I don't start my workday till noon or 1, right? That was one option for me. Or I could have said, you know, I'm not going to work on the evenings. I'm going to cut back in my business overall, right? So there's no correct answer to the question, but it really is about connecting in with yourself and your inner wisdom and really checking about what's right for you at any given time. Okay. And so another important piece in creating your ideal schedule and the time blocks is to make sure you create open space for yourself. So time to rest, time for breaks, as well as some contingency time that you build in. And contingency time is important whether we're budgeting time or whether we're budgeting money. The truth is life happens, right? Things, unexpected things happen. We get sick or someone in our family might get sick. Unexpected things pop up, and you don't need to have your schedule so rigid that if you miss one thing, everything falls apart. Okay, so having that contingency time can be really freeing and important. And so all of this is coming together for the homework piece of creating your ideal weekly schedule based on time off, time on, and time in your business. And keep in mind that as you create your ideal schedule, some fear and some anxiety can come up around the question of, you know, how do I actually live this schedule, right? Like, it looks great on paper, but how do I actually get myself to live it? So I want to talk about a couple pieces there. First and foremost, this is a practice. It truly takes planning and it takes commitment to your schedule and it takes discipline. It's like building a muscle or learning any new skill. If you wanted to learn tennis, you'd have to show up at the court every day. You'd have to learn the rules of the game and you'd have to really commit to it. You need to pay attention even when it was uncomfortable or when you'd rather be home sleeping, right? So creating an ideal schedule and sticking with it is a about learning a new habit. And like we know, whenever we try to instill a new habit, it can be really uncomfortable because we can be really attached to our old ways of doing things and our old habits. They feel like comfort zones. And the thing we want to remember is that this is all about your choice and your personal responsibility. So do you want this ideal schedule? We're not saying it's snap your fingers super easy, but it is possible if you make a commitment. We can give you all the tools for this, but we can't carry you over the river, right? This is about committing to yourself to create new ways of how you manage your time. And another piece I want to add is it's so important to remember that having an ideal schedule does not make us robots, right? We're not robots here. We're all human. So you're not going to live according to the ideal schedule every moment of every day, and that's perfectly okay. Emergencies come up, or a new opportunity comes up, and it's important that you say yes to it. Those things can happen, and that's okay. So remember that things come up, and you want to stick to your ideal schedule as much as you can. So another tool for being able to actually live your ideal schedule is going back to your beliefs from the beginning of the call. A belief can cause a lot of obstacles to come up, or it can create a lot of positive change. A belief that's going unchecked, that's a limiting belief, can throw a wrench into things. So if you see that you're not sticking to your schedule, it might be because you're not working with your new powerful beliefs enough, or there's a new belief that you need to look at stepping into. So really continue to work on those. And then also, if your new ideal schedule that you created truly is not working for you, then tweak it. You make changes here. You're the creator. You figure out how to make it work for you. This will, you know, happen over the first week or two as you move through your ideal schedule. You'll realize you may have forgotten to include something, or certain things need more or less time than what you gave them. That's great. Make the tweak, right? This is your creation. In that idea that how you spend your time is how you live your life, as your life changes and grows, your ideal schedule will change and grow as well. If your family changes, if a child gets older and has a new schedule, that shifts things in your own schedule, right? Or maybe right now you don't have as many private clients, but in 8 weeks you're going to have more. That's going to shift things in your schedule. Joanna adjusts her schedule every 6 months or so, depending on what's shifted, changed, and grown in her business and her life. So remember, this is a living, breathing thing. And you're going to get a worksheet that supports you in creating your ideal schedule as well, and that will be available on NIM. So let's actually move into this next piece around blueprinting. Because the ideal schedule looks at generalized time blocks, right? Time for writing or time for family time or marketing or whatever it is, you create general time blocks, right? And that's a good way to start. But in order to be really successful and accomplish what you want to get even more specific about what you're doing, particularly when it comes to your business at any given time. And this is where the blueprint comes into play. So what do I even mean by getting as specific as possible around what you're doing at any time? Let me give you an example. So first you may decide that, okay, Monday from 2 to 4 p.m. in my ideal schedule is a time when I work on marketing. What I mean is that the next step is to ask what specific marketing you're going to work on during that time. Because to simply say, okay, great, I'll work on marketing, it might not be enough. so that when you show up to that time block and you have no plan, it's so easy to either get overwhelmed or to get really distracted, right, and spend the time doing something totally different because you didn't have enough direction. So it's most effective and aligned to actually plan out beforehand your goal for that two-hour time block. And that's what we're going to be looking at around the idea of blueprinting. The goal might look like completing one page of text for your website, or it might be to write a newsletter, or maybe to reach out individually to a few prospects. But whatever it is, it's really important you know what you will want to accomplish during that time, or else, as we all know, time can get lost. Or we can feel overwhelmed and not know where to start. So take a moment and just think for yourself about times when you've set a goal, like it could be like a New Year's Eve resolution or something, and either you haven't done anything about it or you forgot about it or you ended up feeling really overwhelmed with it, and so you didn't move forward. Right, just take a moment and think if there's been a time or two like that for yourself. And we're just going to look at, usually it's for one of the following three reasons why you might not have followed through or achieved the goal that you set. The first one is you didn't make it a priority, meaning it didn't get scheduled in, right? So that's one reason you might not have moved forward. Secondly, you may not have known how to do it. Like you didn't know the steps of how to get from A to Z to make it happen. Or thirdly, you may have felt really overwhelmed or gone into a place of fear about trying to accomplish it or worried that you would fail. And so you didn't do it or you didn't follow up. Or you didn't follow through with it, right? So this could be something like signing on a new client or working with a new agent. And that's why blueprints are so helpful. So your blueprint is literally the specific action steps you'll take over any four-week period. And we're going to be looking here in the beginning at four-week blueprints. It ends up being your roadmap, if you will. Let's think about that analogy for a moment. Imagine you're living in New York and you want to take a road trip to San Francisco. If you just woke up the first day of your road trip, got in the car and started driving with absolutely no plan, the chances are that if you made it to San Francisco, it would take a really long time if you didn't have any map or idea of where you were going or how to get there, right? And then you think about what if you'd spent the day before your road trip mapping out which highways you were going to take, where you'd be stopping for lunch, where you'd be stopping to sleep, which towns you wanted to make sure you drove through. That would be a much different trip, and you would get to San Francisco much sooner, right? So this is the same as what we're going to call your metaphoric destination here. It's your goals, right? So we want to map out your journey to get there efficiently and effectively and on time and in a way that feels really good for you. And just like planning out the road trip, a blueprint helps you to remain grounded and not get overwhelmed because you break down this really big goal of getting to San Francisco into small, manageable pieces. And we need that roadmap to get to the goal on time in a pace that feels really good. So the blueprint becomes an accountability factor for you. So let's take a look at what you work on for your blueprint. You don't blueprint out your entire business. That would be way too overwhelming of a roadmap. So instead, you work on your goals within the business. So, for example, you could blueprint out creating the proposal for your book. or you could blueprint out putting together and marketing a workshop, or signing on 3 new clients, for instance. We're going to be looking here at setting goals that take approximately 4 weeks or under to complete for your blueprint. And so it's understood there might be 10 things that you want to do right away for your business. And so it's really important to set some priorities, because absolutely, you may want to accomplish 10 things, but most likely you're not going to be able to get them all done this week. Okay, so what you want to do is prioritize from those 10 things what's most important to accomplish first. And we suggest you work on no more than 3 goals at one time for your business. So you can have up to 3 blueprints going at any one time, and you can work on between 1 and 3 goals at a time, but any more than that, you can feel really overwhelmed. You'll also want to make sure that your goal isn't too narrow. So I'll use an example from a previous program of Joanna's. A woman shared that one of her goals was to create a list of 100 companies and people who could hire her. And what she and Joanna actually found out when they looked at the goal was that it was a narrow piece of a larger goal that she could blueprint out that was more about finding the true path to her next full-time job. So the goal actually took her out time-wise a little bit further, and it pushed her comfort zone just a little bit. The new goal was more of a stretch than the original. It was a bit of a risk, and that's part of this. So I want to invite you to make your goals just a little bit of a stretch, and to know that it's okay to feel some discomfort that comes from the stretch. You just don't want it to feel so scary that you won't do it, okay? But it's important that your goals feel like a bit of a stretch. And again, you're going to get a worksheet that helps you to practice this. So I want to take you step by step through the blueprinting process so you're fully clear on it when you receive the worksheet. The first step in creating your blueprint is to state your goal clearly and write down what you want for the goal and how you want it. At Soulful Coaching, we really believe that goals work best if you add an emotional component or an inner intention to them. For example, that you want to do something with joy or in a balanced way or with an open heart or being openly communicative or while facing a fear. Take a moment, and as you're creating your goals, you're going to add in an emotional component that will just help you to commit into it. This is the how for how you achieve or accomplish your goal. And how you achieve it is as important as what you achieve. So for example, if you wanted to create a blog about motorcycling, you can think, I want this blog to be, and then fill in the blank, thriving, well-read, effortlessly fit into my life, gain media coverage, bring me business, be a lot of fun to write, right? It can be all those things. So being clear on the inner and outer components of your goal is an important part of the process. It gives you more information on the goal itself. It gives you information on its scope and how you'd like to execute it. You could even think, if you'd like to, about what you don't want for this goal. For example, I don't want this to take forever. I don't want this to cause problems with my partner. I don't want to feel unsuccessful, right? So you can include those feeling-based components in your goal. Step 2 is to set a goal timeline or deadline. Once you've got all of the pieces of what you want and how you want to achieve it, you set a time due date. By when do you want this to be accomplished? And for right now, we're looking at goals that can happen within 4 weeks. And then once you get more skilled at blueprinting, you can blueprint out further, like 3 months, for instance. And so then step three, once you've got your goals, you're going to break those down into time chunks of 1 to 2 hours and make baby steps. So if you're building a website, a baby step might be to research websites whose design you like. And if you need to, you can break each of the baby steps down even further into chunks that take less than 1 to 2 hours. You just want to make this as manageable and doable as possible, and also get clear on exactly what needs to get done in each time frame. So this can help you with your timing, with your attention span, with your accountability, and your ability to see your progress. It also helps with fear, right? Because it can be overwhelming to say, I'm going to attract 5 new clients this month. It's easier to focus on just the next step, which could be, today I'm going to identify 5 people who I can talk with about my offerings. And then the next time block can be about, I'm now going to send those 5 people each a letter, inviting them into a conversation, right? So this is about taking small steps. Step number 4 is once you have the baby steps chunked into pieces, you plug them into your schedule, right? So this is what I'm going to do, for instance, the 3rd week of April. This is what I'm going to do the 4th week, and so on. You fit them into your schedule. And again, that worksheet that you're going to get takes you step by step through each of these pieces. And finally, you just assess the process weekly to see if anything's changed, if you need to shift something, and you'll constantly be reassessing. Great. So I know that was a ton of information, right? You've got a lot of great things to work on from this module. We covered the inner work on your beliefs around time. We looked at your ideal schedule and blocking times out in your ideal schedule, and we began to look at blueprinting. And that concludes our call for the day. I'd like to go over our homework quickly. First, you'll be identifying an old belief around time and what your new belief is around time that you want to step into. Secondly, identify 3 new rules for yourself that support this new belief that you're stepping into. And finally, create your blueprint for the upcoming month. I wish you the best as you move into this homework and into your lives, moving with the flow of time. And I look forward to connecting again soon. Bye-bye.